Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2230 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. Well, y'all ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king, he's our judge, he's our lawgiver, and Yah is our only Savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the Savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah for once again giving us this great, beautiful opportunity to bring his words to you. Yes, tonight we will still be dealing with the book of Leviticus, the book of the law, the third book of the law, which comes from the Hebrew word Vayikra. Vayikra means he called out. And Yahweh would call out of the tabernacle unto Moshe, and he would give him these laws of holiness, laws of cleanness, that anyone approaching the tabernacle, the tabernacle of meeting, the tabernacle of the congregation, that they would know how to approach the Most High when approaching and dealing with his tabernacle, and how to live a life of cleanness, a life of holiness. And this is what the book of Leviticus deals with. Most people tell you that the book of Leviticus is what the Levites wrote, and it's about the Levites. And they couldn't be further from the truth. Yahweh said, we are a kingdom of priests. And if you know anything about a priest, and let me show you. And we showed this yesterday, dealing with the dietary laws. And I may add, before I even show you this in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, first I want to let you know, we've been dealing with the book of the law in a peculiar manner than anybody else. Most of our people, when they deal with the laws of Yahweh and deal with the books of Yahweh, they deal with it according to a sidra that is taught by the Jewish people. And they go through this book of the law over the course of a year's time. Not so with us. We've dealt with the book of Genesis. We dealt with the book of Exodus. We let you know what these books actually mean. How many chapters in each book. And then we gave you the meat of the books, so that you will know the whole book. 12 generations in the book of Genesis. 12 different names in the book of Exodus. Exodus comes from the Hebrew word Shemot, which means names. Genesis comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means beginning. And now we're in the third book, Leviticus, where Yitra, which means he called out. In the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, learning that we are a kingdom of priests, the scriptures let us know in the book of Leviticus, the 10th chapter, the 10th verse, it says, and that you may put difference between the holy and unholy, between the unclean and clean. And that's what we're dealing with through the whole book of Leviticus. How to be clean and how to be holy. This is so important to Yahweh. Look what the Creator lets us know in the book of Psalm 19 concerning our ability to be clean. It says in the book of Psalm 19, so you'll know how important this is. Psalms 19, this is what it says in the 9th verse. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. It's clean. And this is what you want to know. What is the fear of Yah? It's clean. And anything unclean is just the opposite of the fear of Yahweh. And now we're talking about the third, the fourth, as well as the fifth law we will bring to you tonight. The third law is the law, the holy law of childbearing. The fourth law is the holy law of leprosy. And the fifth law is the holy law of running issues. I may add, it's only 12 different laws. And right now, we're about to deal with the third, fourth, and fifth laws. And you may say, well, no, it's way more laws, statutes, and commandments than that. Yes, that is true. But what I'm showing you and what I'm teaching you is that if you know the 12 laws that we're pointing out, you will begin to learn all the laws, the whole book of Leviticus, as well as part of Genesis, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, just by studying these 12 different laws. And it's important to know these laws because this is your direct relationship with the Most High. This is how you come near unto Yahweh. Is what holds you back or allows you to come forth. That's how important these laws are. And again, the first one is childbearing. The law of childbearing, you will begin reading this law in the book of Leviticus, the 12th chapter. And what do you think Yahweh wants you to know about childbearing? Well, the first thing he wants you to know is not even written in the book of Leviticus. It's actually written in the book of Malachi. And let me show you this so you can understand how this law is very relevant. Essential to your relationship with the Most High. And watch what it says in the book of Leviticus. And we're going to start reading at the Malachi, the second chapter. The 12th verse. And this is what it says. Malachi 2:12. Yahweh will cut off the man that does this, the master and the scholar out of the tabernacle of Yaakov, and him that offers an offering unto Yahweh of hosts. If you're going to offer an offering unto Yahweh, and that's all of Israel, Yahweh said he's going to cut off the man that does this. And what is this? And this have you done according to covering the altar of Yahweh with your tears, with your weeping, with crying out, and so much that he regards not the offering anymore, or receives it with good will at your hand. Yet you say, why? Why haven't you received this? Why aren't you hearing us? What have we done? And watch what Yahweh says. Because Yahweh has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have dealt treacherously, yet is she your companion, and the wife of your covenant. Little do people know that a lot of things are not being answered today from Yahweh, even though our people praying earnestly to Yahweh, crying unto Yahweh. weeping unto Yahweh. But Yahweh looking down from his holy kingdom, from his holy tabernacle, from his throne that is settled and set in heaven, looking at us like, man, I wouldn't dare do nothing for y'all, seeing how you all treat the daughters of Zion, seeing how treacherous you are. You crying to me while she's crying about you. And Yahweh see the false balance. And Yahweh said the false balance is an abomination unto him. So no, he's not going to hear you until you get your house in order. Don't even look to call on Yahweh at his house in heaven. But watch what he says. Why do he want your house together? Why do he want you to stop all the weeping and crying that you cause in another's? 15 verse. He's already let us know she's the wife of your youth, the wife of your covenant. And I may add, it's a difference between a wife of your covenant and a wife of your vows. You won't even read the scripture where it says this is the wife of your vows. Watch what it says. And did not he make one? Did not make y'all one? Yet had he the residue of the spirit. And why one? Why did I make you one? That he might seek an Elohimly seed. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. And what is an Elohimly seed? Wouldn't that be someone that's holy? Since Elohim said he's holy, therefore thou shalt be holy. This is how important child rearing is to Yahweh. He's the one to bless you to have the children. And every day you got to raise your children with the gratitude that Yahweh bless you with. He bless you with children. Now show you grateful. Show you have some type of gratitude. Show your thanks by raising them right. Raising them in a holy way. Raising them in an Elohimly way. What other way can you raise them? But according to the law of Yahweh. In the book of Leviticus, the 12th chapter, going back there. In the book of Leviticus 12. And we're going to read the first verse. Watch what it says. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived seed and bears a man child, and that's what the scripture says, man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the days of the separation of her infirmity, shall she be unclean. And listen, the days of separation for her infirmity, in other words, just those words alone, let us know how many days that is. And that's 7. It don't even have to describe this, even though it did say unclean 7 days, but the separation for her infirmity, the days of separation for her infirmity is already understood, because Yahweh has made that crystal clear that she's to be unclean 7 days. But then it says this, and in the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. Well, how do we know he's 8 days old? We know that by the day that he was born. We didn't have to see a moon, a crescent, or anything. All we had to do was mark when this male child was born, and 8 days later, he was circumcised. All this moon talk, and you won't even see the moon mentioned here at all. But we know what the days of this separation for her infirmity is. It's 7. This is the language of the scriptures, as you're going to see. It's holy. And then when he's 8 days old, now if you can count 8 days without a moon, surely you can count more than that without that. All you got to do is keep counting. Watch what this says. And she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. She shall touch no hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying are fulfilled. And the days of her purifying is 40 days. See, we know that. 7 days of uncleanness, 33 more days for her days of purification. In total, she's away from the tabernacle for 40 days. Likewise, if she had a man child, likewise her baby. Because the baby is with her. But this is different for a maid child. And let's see what the difference is. 5th verse. But if she bears a maid child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her separation. Now, what is 2 weeks? You would think these terms you got to be a rocket scientist to know what these terms are. No, 2 weeks is simple. It's 14 days. Now, how do we know that? To know what 2 weeks is just to know what a week is. A week is 7 days. And you got two, it's 14 days. But Yahweh didn't have to say 14 days. He said 2 weeks. Because it's a term understood. Nobody needs to, 2 weeks is never 10 days or 11 days or 12 days. You can't make 2 weeks nothing but what it is, and it is 14 days. That's what 2 weeks is. But a month, you can't make a month anytime, anything you want. A month period in the scriptures is 30 days. Nothing more, nothing less. If 2 weeks is 14 days and you can't make 2 weeks nothing else, then how can you make a month something else? These are exact numbers given by the Most High. Well, watch this. Continue reading. And she shall continue in the blood of her purifying 66 days. So in other words, you got 66 days, which is 66 days, plus 14 days, which is 2 weeks, a total of 80 days. So she had a little girl, a maid child. She's away from the sanctuary 80 days. And Yahweh could have easily said 40 days for the male, 80 days for the female. Well, no, he didn't say it like that. Why? Because he broke down by law each situation. That applies. 7 days of uncleanness for the male, 2 weeks of uncleanness for the maid child. 33 days away from the sanctuary for the male, and 66 for the maid child. And all this is very, very vital and important to Yahweh. Why? Because this is the law. And Yahweh wanted a woman to be totally clean from the issue of her blood before she came to the sanctuary. And this is the law on childbearing. And you have to read the whole law, because then there are certain offerings that she had to make. But you know about the offerings. You know about the turtle dove. You know about the pigeon. These are burnt offerings, because we read that in the first law. And that law will extend all the way to here, but you know about it. Now, everywhere you'll read about the male child, the maid child, then you can understand this thing. Here it is, man child, 8 days old. In other words, you start beginning to number them from birth. And when they're born, you just can't start saying this one. One day, he was just born. And he's newborn, and then he become one. 1 day old, 2 days old, 3 days old, 4 days old. Now, people don't know how to count yet. But if you keep listening to us, we will teach you. Just like, and we'll cover this a little bit more extensively. Watch this in the book of Leviticus 27, so you can see this. So you can see how long you got teachers going around. You don't have to count, and we're just some counters here in Cincinnati. But I sound foolish when I read all these scriptures talking about counting. Watch this in the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter. I want you to see this, because this is on how you going to raise children. You don't even know how to count their age. You think their age is predicated on the moon, and it ain't at all. Matter of fact, your age today, your mama and daddy, you ain't at the age that you were at because you was looking at a moon, and nor were they. I wonder if you think your age is correct. You probably think the white man lied about that, and you don't know how old you are. Don't tell me how old you are, and you ain't been using no moon. Watch this. But then when it comes to holy things, you won't use the moon. When it comes to you and real life stuff, you don't use that. Christianity and Judaism and all these other isms. In the book of Leviticus 27, watch this. It says, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man shall make a singular vow, the persons shall be for Yahweh by your estimation. And watch what the Creator says. Your estimation shall be of the male from 20 years old even to 60 years old. Even your estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver. After the shekel of the sanctuary. And if it is a female, then your estimation shall be 30 shekels. So this is from 20 to 60. Now, why is that? What do a 20-year-old through 60 years old and above have in common? Well, they're all adults, according to the scriptures. Why would their vows, after the shekel of the sanctuary, they all lumped together? They must have something in common. And they do. They all adults. So right here, Yahweh is not talking about a child. He's talking about men and women. But let's keep reading. The fourth verse. Or the fifth verse. Watch this. And if it is a female, and if it is from 5 years old, even to 20 years old, then your estimation shall be of the male 20 shekels and the female 10 shekels. In other words, their weight of shekels is different and their age is different. This 5 to 20, the male and the female. And what do they have in common? None of them from 5 all the way up until 20, they're not adults. From 20 years old and above, they're adults. From 5 up to 20, these are not adults at all. Why do you think Yahweh separates them in that manner and weigh them with a different weight? Because when you turn 20, your responsibilities change. I know you ain't been taught this, but we're going to teach you the law. Watch what it says. We're going to continue reading the sixth verse. And if it is from a month old, still talking about childbearing, even to 5 years old, then your estimation shall be of the male 5 shekels of silver. For the female, your estimation shall be 3 shekels of silver. In other words, what do a month old to 5 years old have in common? Obviously something. Because Yahweh will start this count at a month old. Not 2 weeks old, not 3 weeks old, not 29 days old, as you've been mistakenly led to believe, but at a month old and upwards to 5. A different weight altogether. And then the 7th verse, and if it's from 60 years old and above, and why 60? Now you're getting into your elders. Because it's saying 64 reasons. And there's a difference between a 60-year-old and a 50-year-old. If it's a male, then your estimation shall be 15 shekels. And for the female, 10 shekels. These are all weights and estimations of a certain age group of men and women, starting from a month old. The only time you count a child before that, by law, as we showed you, is when they're 8 days old. And you, they count them to be 8, you got to start before that. Such as in the book of Leviticus, let's go to Genesis 21. Just want you to see this. Genesis 21. Then we're going to get into leprosy. There's all types of leprosy, and I can't deal with all the leprosies. But I just want you to take heed to the plague of leprosy. That's the most important thing. But in the book of Genesis, because we're dealing with the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th law in Genesis. I'm sorry, Leviticus. The law of childbearing, the law of leprosy, and the law of running issues. In the book of Genesis 21, And we're going to read the third and fourth verse. Well, we start at the second verse. It says, "For Sarah conceived, bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the said time of which Elohim had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And Abraham circumcised his son, Isaac, being 8 days old, as Elohim had commanded him." So he knew how to count. And if you don't know how to count, and you don't think counting is part of the law, and you shouldn't count like some people teach it, then how's you going to count whether your son is 8 days old? And I can assure you, you won't look up in the sky to do it. And if you don't got to look up in the sky to count whether he's 8 days old, then what in the world do you got to look up in the sky for to see if he's a month old? And you do have to count him at a month, according to the law. Yes, your man child. And let me show you that in the book of Numbers. Showed you got to count him at a month old. Just like we showed in Leviticus, the 27th chapter, that they were valued from a month old, even to 5 years old, in the book of Numbers, the 3rd chapter. And watch what this is. And we're going to read Numbers 3. Verse 43. And we start at 40. "And Yahweh said to Moshe, number all the firstborn of the males of the children of Israel from a month old and upward, and take the number of their names." And this is when we start numbering our males from a month old. And what is their value? Watch this. Verse 46. "And for those that are to be redeemed of the 213 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, which are more than the Levites, you shall even take 5 shekels apiece by the pole. After the shekel of the sanctuary shall you take them." Isn't that the law? Didn't we just read about that in the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter? 5 shekels of silver from a month old, even a 5 for the male, 3 shekels for the female. This is the law. That's what I'm saying. If you study these laws as we're teaching you, I can assure you, you're going to know the law better than anybody you know. Furthermore, in leprosy, in the book of Deuteronomy, the 24th chapter, because the next law is leprosy, the law of leprosy. And it's very important to remember this law, and we're about to show you why. In the book of Deuteronomy 24, verse 8, it says, "Take heed in the plague of leprosy." The only way you can take heed of it is that you know it. And you will know it if you begin to read the law in the book of Leviticus, the 13th and 14th chapter of Leviticus. You will read about all the different leprosies in the book that you observe diligently and do according to all that the priest, the Levite, shall teach you as I commanded them, so shall you observe to do. Remember what Yahweh your Elohim did unto Miriam by the way, after that you will come forth out of Egypt. Remember that. Remember how insolent and bitter and rebellious she was towards Moses. All Moses did was brought the law. All Moses did was taught the law. But just like our brothers and sisters today, here you teach the law, you bringing forth the law, but they're not going to deal with the subject matter of the law that you're teaching and dealing with. They will just attack you personally, as Moses was attacked. Moses was attacked. Aren't we prophets too? And you can't marry this Ethiopian woman. And Yahweh knew it wasn't about no Ethiopian woman anyway. He knew their heart was against him and his laws. Just like people going around talking about we're false prophets and we this. These guys was told by false prophets, because if I'm a false prophet, I told many of these people that call me false prophets. I told them. And now here, just like Moses taught Miriam and Aaron, now all of a sudden he don't know the law. And this is the type of insolence Yahweh is speaking about. And look what Yahweh did as a result of them speaking against Moses in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. And I'm not comparing myself to Moses by no stretch of the imagination. Get that out of your mind. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm telling you is, be careful in who what you speak against, because they weren't careful at all. And this is what it says. And Miriam and Aaron, Numbers 12 and 1, spoke against Moshe because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moshe? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. And the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spoke suddenly to Moses, to Aaron, to Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. They three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision, will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the likeness of Yahweh shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? He should have been afraid. I'll deal with this man. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. In other words, she became white. White as snow. And Aaron looked upon Mary, and behold, she was white, which means leprous in the scriptures. And Aaron said to Moshe, alas, my master, I beseech you, lay not the sin upon us wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. And Yahweh described how she looked. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is has consumed when he comes out of his mother's womb. That's how she undoubtedly looked. Like one dead, like one flesh is half consumed. This is the word of Yahweh. These are not my words. I have nothing against nobody. But this is what Yahweh said. So if you have a problem with being white, Love and white, then you got a problem with Yahweh. You don't have no problems with me. All I do is teach the law. But undoubtedly, our people is not taking heed to this law because they don't realize the only reason she became white is because she was so insolent, churlish, bitter, rebellious. How do you think Cain became white? Yahweh will put a mark upon Cain. Least anyone seeing him shall kill him. In other words, the mark saved his life. But the mark was a mark of sin. Because Cain was white. He was leprous. He had leprosy. Why do you think King Uzziah became white? Even though he knew the law, he knew that he was not the light, the incense. Like our people doing today. You tell them, don't burn no, this ain't that incense. Well, where do you burn any incense? Period. Where'd you get this custom from? Did not Yahweh say, acknowledge him in all your ways? And here it is, a king of Israel who was not to light incense was told not to light it by the priest. And guess what he did? He became rebellious. He became insolent, mad, bitter. And same thing Yahweh did to Miriam, Yahweh did to King Uzziah. And I may add, King Uzziah died a leper. Miriam didn't. But King Uzziah died a leper. Likewise, Gehazi. And we're going to read about Gehazi in the book of 2 Kings. Because this is all predicated on taking heed to the law of leprosy. Well, where would you read that law? In the book of Leviticus, the 13th chapter and 14th chapter of Leviticus. That's where you will read that law. And I may add, it's only 27 chapters in the book of Leviticus. So in other words, just reading through the 14th chapter, you're already at half the book. 2 Kings, the 5th chapter. And we're going to read and I want to get to the meat of it because of time purposes. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, he was a servant of the prophet. Man of Elohim said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian. And not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as Yahweh lives, I will run after him and take something from him. In other words, see the type of heart he has? And that's how people's heart is. You got to, Yahweh give it and Yahweh take it. You got to know when it's time to receive and when it's time. And at the point that the prophet Elisha didn't take, who's worthy to receive, then hands off. But Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chair to meet him and said, it's all well. And he said, all is well, my master has sent me. Saying, behold, even now there has come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray you, a talent of silver, two changes of garments. In other words, he lied. In the name of the prophet Elisha, as many people doing today. And Naaman said, be content. Take 2 talents. And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver and 2 bags, 2 changes of garments, laid them upon 2 of his servants, and they bore them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand, bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where went you, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere. Lied again. And he said to him, went not my heart with you when the man turned again from his chariot to meet you? Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and olive groves and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? The leprosy, therefore, Naaman shall cling to you and to your seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, white as snow, because that's what leprosy is. You become white. And so not only he was white, but we got a lot of white Gehazianites running around today. And they don't even know why they're white. But we do, because we know the law. They don't know who they are. But we do. And anybody who's turned white in the scriptures, it was because of insolence. It was because of rebelliousness. It was because of their bitterness, conniving, slickness towards the Most High. This is what Gehazi did. Cain did. Miriam did. King Uzziah did. And the last law that we was going to bring to you today, which is we dealt with childbearing, the third law. Leprosy, the fourth law. And then running issues, the fifth law. And the running issues is really kind of self-explanatory. And it's something that you really got to learn about, because in dealing with running issues, it typically is not dealing with a running nose or your eyes leaking. Yeah, nose can be issues. That's running. But typically it's dealing with your private parts, your private areas. And it's dealing with disease. And oftentimes it's dealing with also blood, semen. And these things can cause uncleanness. And remember, Yahweh said, the reason why we're talking about these laws, because he said, he's holy, therefore you shall be holy. And the only way that you're going to learn how to be holy is that you understand the law concerning all these issues. And, of course, this is in the book of Leviticus, the 15th chapter. Mind you, it's only 27 chapters in Leviticus, and that will bring us a little bit more than half the chapters in the book. And we just dealt with, this is the fifth law, through 15 chapters. And this is what it says about the running issues. Very, very first verse, because it don't take a rocket science. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe and to Aaron, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, when a man has a running issue out of his flesh, because of his issue, he's unclean. And this shall be his uncleanness and his issue, whether his flesh runs with the issue, or his flesh is stopped from the issue, it is his unclean. In other words, you might not see nothing coming forth, but he still is unclean because he still may have an issue. Every baby whereon he lies that has an issue is unclean. Everything whereon he sits shall be unclean. And whosoever touches bed shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And most of these laws would tell you to be unclean until the evening, with the exception of blood and dealing with the dead. But what? And he that sits on anything, Ronnie said, that has an issue, shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. They talking about all this, what they call it, if you're in the presence of somebody who might have COVID, maybe you don't have it, and you had on your mask. They had on your mask, but they had a positive test, a COVID test, and you was in their presence. They still will quarantine you. Because we don't know if it's possible that you might have it or not. So at a cautionary examination, cautionary reason, you're quarantined. Well, this is what this is. In other words, if you sit somewhere, touch something that somebody touched, or they sat there and they had the issue, in other words, they had some type of disease or something like, we don't know if you got it yet. We at least got to wait till the evening after you wash yourself, bathe yourself, wash your clothes. Now we can see if you're straight. We always did that. That's the law. Seventh verse. And he that touches the flesh of him that has the issue shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, be unclean until the evening. And if he that has the issue spits upon him that is clean. In other words, by accident. This is no deliberate type of somebody spit on somebody. Then he shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And whatever saddle he rides upon that has the issue shall be unclean. All cautionary, because we don't know. See, if you touch something that is unclean, we don't know if you are contaminated. And whoever touches anything that was under him shall be unclean until the evening. And he that bears any of those things shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, be unclean until the evening. And whoever he touches that has the issue has not rinsed his hands in water, he shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And the vessel of earth that he touches, which has the issue, shall be broken. Every vessel of wood shall be cleansed in water. And when he that has an issue is cleansed of his issue, then he shall number to himself 7 days for his cleansing. Wash his clothes, bathe himself, bathe his flesh in water, and shall be unclean, and shall be clean. In other words, if you knew the law, this is what will happen. I touched him, right? Well, I sat there. I'll be unclean until the evening. Or if the person, rather the person who has the issue, they're unclean until the issue stops. Then you got to go through a 7-day cleansing period, just like a woman in her cleansing period. She has to go 7 days before she can go to the sanctuary. And this is no different. Then it says, on the 8th day, he shall take to him 2 turtle doves, 2 young pigeons. And come before Yahweh to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and give them to the priest. I mean, this is no different. And you should know about this these pigeons and these turtle doves, because you read that in the Law of Sacrifices. Likewise, in the 16th verse, it says, and if any man see the copulations go out from him, that's your semen, then he shall wash his flesh and water and be unclean until the evening. Every garment, every skin whereon he's to see the copulation shall be washed in water and be unclean until the evening. The woman also with whom man shall lie with see the copulation, they shall both bathe themselves in water and be unclean until the evening, both of them. And you'll never read where to say, and the man also who lay with man and lie with seed of copulation, because that ain't even supposed to happen. Only person supposed to be lying with a man is a woman. And that's the law of Yahweh. 19th verse. And if a woman has an issue in her issue, and her flesh be blood, she shall be put apart 7 days. Whoever touches her shall be unclean until the evening, even if you touch her. And I know women feel certain ways, but that's the law. And everything that she lies upon in her separation shall be unclean. Everything also that she sits upon shall be unclean. In other words, it's hard to do all this, these things in captivity, but she's supposed to have an area to herself. And whoever touches her bed shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. Whoever touches anything that she sat upon shall wash his clothes, bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the evening. And if it is on her bed or anything wherein she sits, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until the evening. And if any man lies with her at all, and her impurity is upon him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and all the beds wherein he lies shall be unclean. And if a woman has an issue of her blood many days outside of the time of her separation, or runs beyond the time of her separation, in other words, you got to know the time of her separation first. Her separation is 7 days automatically. I don't care if she just was, her blood was just 1 day. That time of separation is 7 days. But if she goes beyond that, it says, every bed where she lies, all the days of her issue. Now they don't say all the days of her separation. All the days of her issue shall be to shall be to her as the bed of her separation. In other words, long as she has the issue, she's separated. But if she no longer has the issue, she good. But this beyond the time of her separation. And whatever she sits upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. Touches those things shall be unclean, shall wash his clothes, bathe themselves in water, and be unclean until the evening. But if she is cleansed of her issue, then she shall number to herself 7 days, and after that she shall be clean. That's why when a woman is unclean, if we were in the land, she will be away at minimum 14 days. At minimum. This is the law. These are the laws of childbearing, leprosy, and running issues, 3, 4, and 5. And we'll be back tomorrow with you, dealing with law number 6, law number 7. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
So much high self-esteem, I am Israel. I glory in myself, as many of us did. It made me feel as if I was the highest thing on the world, because I thought I knew the greatest secret on this earth. Men and women were burning down entities. of education and rioting because they wanted black history. And I said, I found black history right here in the Holy Scriptures, and I found out that I'm part of the holiest, greatest.
Yeah, I serve a refined purpose. Walk through the iron furnace, not burning 400 years. You got no time purpose. Wise flourish fools following folly. The blind person, eyes hurting, let the light in. Like I despise curtain. Watch out for them lying service. Humbleness, I'm trying to purchase. Cause it's kind of hard to stay on your job with pride working. What's his name? And his son's name, if you can tell. Yahweh Elohim, the host, his son's name is Israel. So awake, Jacob, and watch out for your sins. Yahweh be with you, while you be with him. If you seek him, he will find you. Do not put his words behind you. If you forsake him, he will forsake you. So please be mindful. Life is a battleground, so break up your fallow grounds. Seek righteousness and sow in mercy till he shower down. You former ladder rain, restored in the latter days. Jacob no longer repressed and thinking like slaves.
Yahweh is his name. His word has came to us as the rain. Yahweh is his name. His word has came to us as the rain.
Is that Yahweh?
Yahweh is our lawgiver.
His word just came to us as the rain. When I call, O Elohim, O my righteousness, you have enlarged. When I was stressed, you heard my prayers, have mercy upon. When I almost slipped, you grabbed my foot and told me to hold on. O sons of men, how long will you turn Yah's glory into shame? And love, live in vain, walking in your own way. See, life, be Yahweh separated to himself. That's with some understanding, knowledge is my help. Follow these steps, please Yashima, when I call, standing all don't sin, commune with your own heart, while you still in your bed, see life, offer the sacrifice of righteousness, put your trust in Yah, so your life just live, though some will say, ain't no good in this day, Yah, let this countenance and shine this light on his face, put gladness in my heart, more than the time when they whine and crease, now I will both lay me down in peace, cause only Yah keep me safe.
Yahweh is his name, his word has came to us as the rain, Yahweh
Live free. Fourth tribe.
100 centuries.
Let's go.
Take a look at my soul. Nothing left but these holes. They tried to take me down, but Yah is in control. So now I ask you, you suddenly black too. The oppressor ain't fair when he attacked. You started wars cause they tried to tax you. You should be asked